Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia-Pacific stocks are trading mixed this morning following a new record high for the Dow on Wall Street overnight. Tokyo is down 0.2%. Sydney and Seoul are trading flat. There are a host of corporate stories attracting investor interest this morning. Joining me now as we walk through these stories and break down all their market action, good Thursday morning, Ryan Huang.
Happy Thursday morning, Michelle.
Ryan, do you hear that noise?
What? Is it?
Listen, it's the buzz and the excitement. Mergers, rebranding, new deals in the tech world. I can hear it in some parts of the investing universe. Analysts and traders may be fretting about inflation, GDP and vaccination rates. But in the world of tech, even Chinese regulators can't seem to burst that enthusiastic bubble for long. Even Chinese tech shares are rising, back in focus. But that's not where I want to start this morning. No, we're going to start with an online payments platform that is in talks to buy a social media platform. If it goes through, it could be the biggest tech deal of the year. PayPal wants to buy Pinterest. The deal is valued at $45 billion, and it could help PayPal realize its dream of becoming, quote, that super app. Tell us more. What are the potential synergies between PayPal and Pinterest?
Yeah, this could be set to be PayPal's biggest acquisition, $45 billion for Pinterest. And you might be familiar with Pinterest if you just use it as a mood board for renovations or just pinning up random pictures for whatever purpose. So that scrapbooking platform is where users can save, collect and group images. So it's a very big play into the social media space, something akin to having its own Instagram of sorts. So that is how I think PayPal is going to benefit from, you know, getting a bigger foot into this door of just getting more engagement with PayPal. So with PayPal trying to get into this social media space, and you have in return Pinterest trying to go into shopping, that kind of is a bit of a good marriage of sorts, because you can then make it more seamless. For example, PayPal, or rather Pinterest, has been trying to introduce new tools for some of its creators to make their pins more shoppable. So by clicking on some images, you can buy stuff. But of course, when you buy stuff, you need to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that's where PayPal comes in.
So captive audience and I suppose a possibility of using visual search as well, going big on visual search for PayPal. PayPal's business has boomed since the beginning of the pandemic as more and more people shop online. It has more than 400 million active accounts, and analysts say that its revenue has likely jumped 20% this year. PayPal has also entered the growing buy now, pay later space. So an acquisition of Pinterest is going to push the company into social commerce. Ryan, you've talked about Pinterest before in terms of what you use for renovations, right? What do you think about this deal?
Yeah, I think it's a smart play because it is trying to build a super app, like you pointed out, PayPal, and it has bought a couple of things in this lead up to this latest news. You've got the app or company Honey, which is also a online shopping play. And if you look at what's been happening with the engagement levels, if you look at PayPal's 80 million users, they are active 8 to 9 times a month. Looking at Pinterest's 380 monthly active users, they use the app 37 times a month. You can imagine the type of recurring income that could potentially come through if PayPal is part of the ecosystem in the Pinterest system. So it does really set itself up to become even bigger, similar to what we might see in future, a version of Alipay or WeChat with PayPal taking that form.
It's about eyeballs as well, right? This could augur PayPal's entry into advertising in a big way with that captive audience. As often happens when news of a deal breaks, shares of the acquisition target jump, but those of the acquirer did not. Pinterest shares rose nearly 13% on the news overnight, but investors sold off PayPal. It dropped 5%. The next bit of buzz in the tech world comes from Facebook. It is considering, reportedly, changing its name. Now, some analysts compare the move to Google, which creates it a new parent company called Alphabet a few years ago, so that it could focus on areas of business outside of search. Others say this potential name change is really a branding move to deflect the reams of criticism that Facebook has been garnering recently. Whatever the motive, there is a lot of talk about what this new name might be. We'll get to that in just a bit. But Ryan, what do you think of these reports? Do you think a new rebranding or a new name makes sense for Facebook given its size and stature?
Yeah, it is a bit tough to figure out why they might want to, you know, throw away years of branding and brand recognition to have a new name. But I won't rule it out because it has been going through quite a bit of bad news, negative news headlines for the wrong reasons. For example, what's been happening with accusations, how it's been prioritizing profits ahead of consumer safety. And that is something that might also be part of the reason in terms of how they've been trying to pivot to a new business model of sorts, and it's called the Metaverse. And this is the next big thing in tech, where there's a concept now where they are painting how people might live, work, and play in future, a bit of a digital world of sorts where you might imagine The Sims or Tron or The Matrix, where you're in a virtual world and just interacting with
an avatar.
An avatar, a digital representation of someone else, just working, walking down the street, a digital street. And this person could be far away in the other part of the country or the world. So that is how they are envisioning all these technologies to come together. And that's really playing out with how Facebook has been buying stuff like VR headset maker Oculus, and they've been also trying to set up various things to tie into this new world. So it does point to a possible move in that direction when it comes to maybe rebranding, but it is still quite unofficial. We don't really have any clear indication if that's going to happen yet.
Some analysts say if Facebook does unveil a new name, it is likely to spark a firestorm of outrage and mockery, but that over the long term, it could succeed. Either way, there is a lot of speculation happening online as to what this new name might be. What are some of the suggestions, Ryan?
Yeah, I have to say, whatever name they call themselves, people are still going to use Facebook. So let's put it out there. So some of the names they might use, some of them coming up include Meta, which is, of course, a play of Metaverse, and also something they've been setting up around a biomedical research tool they've been developing under the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. So they already have the entity there, so it kind of plays into that. There's also a new name, Horizon, which seems to be getting quite a bit of traction. That also paints the world of what might be the Metaverse play they are trying to get into. So those seem to be the top names. Of course, you've got, you know, variations of Book and Face. So it really, the sky's the limit when it comes to what might be the next name for FB.
So if it was your choice and you could rename Facebook, what would you call it?
I'll call it The Facebook.
The Facebook. Meta seems like a good choice, right? It sounds really philosophical and ties in with this idea that Facebook could own the metaverse almost, right? Stamp of ownership. Or you could just call itself the company that people are no longer angry with.
I'll call it F. You know, they really can call themselves anything.
All right. In other tech news, Spotify is teaming up with the Canadian e-commerce giant Shopify to enable in-app sales of artists' merchandise. The tie-up, similar to a deal that Shopify announced with TikTok 2 months ago. So from PayPal, Pinterest, Facebook and Shopify, let's turn to Chinese tech, starting with Alibaba. Its shares jumped at the open overnight for several reasons, starting with Jack Ma. He's traveling abroad for the first time since Chinese regulators cracked down on Alibaba and the Ant Group a year ago. Tell us more.
Yeah, so he makes an appearance, and this time he is going to Europe. And this is the first time, of course, since it's been, you know, under a bit of scrutiny with the crackdown in China by the government on the tech space. So it does send a bit of confidence to investors in Alibaba, and that is now seeing him in Spain after a stop in Hong Kong. According to reports, he's there for a series of business meetings, including a tour of the agricultural industry and the environmental technology that is available in Spain.
57-year-old abroad for the first time following the crackdown. Now, yesterday we talked about how Alibaba has revealed a new semiconductor chip, one that is being hailed as a breakthrough in China's bid to be self-sufficient in this arena. Now, on top of that, the company is expanding its cloud business in Asia. It's a move that puts it in direct competition with Amazon. What's the latest on this front?
Yeah, so you have an expansion of the cloud business with new data centers in Asia. So this really ramping up the intensity when it comes to competing with the likes of Amazon. So you've got new data centers in South Korea and Thailand come 2022. So that is going to be a big step on top of what it's already doing with its new chips that will feed into the potentially the new computing cloud computing servers as well, these new AI chips.
Alibaba shares up 7% on the back of that news. In fact, rose as much as 9% yesterday before giving back those gains. Chinese tech stocks overall, though, appear to be hot again. ETFs that are made up of Chinese tech shares back in demand. Give us an example, Ryan.
Okay, so what we have here in focus is the Crane Shares CSI China Internet Fund, one of the most popular ones to track Chinese tech companies. And they have a basket of around 53 US-listed Chinese tech companies. So that has jumped 21% since its low in mid-August. So quite a bit of interest going back into these tech stocks. Mm. And it is going to be one of those things you have to figure out why, because you have still an ongoing crackdown and the theories are that the prices are good. Because of that slump, it has attracted a few bargain hunters who are quite bullish on the long-term prospects of the Chinese internet sector, because you still need technology, you still will see demand and consumers going into tech. So that, of course, with the macro trends of increased digitalization, will just put them, whatever is happening in the tech space in China, still on track for growth.
All right, speaking of growth, let's turn to cryptocurrencies now, where Bitcoin has risen to a new all-time high. It jumped above $66,000 a token overnight. This on the back of a successful launch of that Bitcoin futures ETF. Now, Ryan, crypto enthusiasts say this is a validating moment for Bitcoin. Tell us more.
Yeah, it depends what time you ask, because overnight it did break slightly above $67,000 and now it has started to give back a lot of those gains. Is now lingering around $65,000. So you might get a different answer if you asked this question 2 hours ago. So right now, it is something that's riding on the growing interest around the first ETF, Bitcoin ETF, that launched on Tuesday. So that attracted quite a bit of interest and a lot of bullish investors going into Bitcoin, so much so it broke past the April peak and for a brief period, touched a new record. So I think it'd be worth watching when the second Bitcoin ETF launches in the US come Friday to see if we get another wave of investors jumping on board.
Sometimes it's the people who sell the shovels that make the most money in a gold rush. That's an old adage from the days of the gold rush. A Pennsylvania Bitcoin miner has listed shares on NASDAQ overnight. How did it do?
Yeah, talking about shovels, Levi's was one of the beneficiaries of the gold rush, selling those jeans for miners. So that aside, we are looking at a digital mining company. It's called Stronghold Digital Mining, and they made their first day of trading debut overnight, and they jumped 52%. So talk about good timing. And this is worth noting that they mine Bitcoin from waste coal. So it has a bit of an ESG play as well. So they priced their stock at 19 cents a share. That is above the expected range of $16 to $18. And come closing of the session, they were at $28.90.
Stunning visuals, I have to say. They trade under the NASDAQ ticker SDIG. The stock closed climbing as high as $31.90. Imagine that, mining Bitcoin from waste coal. Now it's time for up or down. Let's start the game with Tesla. Up or down?
I'm going with up again. Tesla's on a, well, good run. It's a third straight quarter of record profits for Tesla.
Yeah. Beating expectations. Plus, it's launching a battery that could increase its margins. So up for Tesla in my book as well. Let's look at Evergrande.
Okay, that is going to be a down for me. So what's happening here is it has asked to resume trading in Hong Kong today. It previously asked to be suspended because pending an announcement of a major transaction, and the reports around this major transaction was that it would be selling its property services arm, Scenic, but that apparently has fallen through. So no word on that, and they are set to resume trading come Hong Kong opening time.
So down, Evergrande calling off a potential sale of one of its units. If the sale had gone through, it would have helped the property giant pay off its debts. Next, let's look at Qantas.
Okay, this is going to be an up for me. So they are projecting they will get back to 100% of pre-pandemic domestic capacity by the start of the next year. So that is with the assumption that Australian state borders will reopen from the surging COVID-19 vaccination rates. So that's a bit of a fingers-crossed moment for the aviation industry down under. But worth noting, Western Australia is still not yet open domestically. So something they probably have to wait on for a bit more come the early part of 2022.
Thanks very much, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.